Yo, hello. Hello, everyone. Hi. This is, once again, Yo's This Racist. We have another, not guest host, I guess, a guest. You don't have to do hosting stuff.
I'm also a host, though.
Yeah, I know. You could host. You brought it up 2 seconds before we started recording, and I was like...
And then you didn't let me, like, pull the trigger. I was going to do the, yo, welcome back to Yo's This Racist.
You are so much more professional at it that I lost my nerve. But we can... you can take...
No, I'll let you have your own show, Andrew. Come on.
I don't know. Do whatever you want. You're here. You're a guest. Jane Marie is here. Hi.
Hi.
How's it going? I'm good. I don't know. How are you doing? See, I'm in guest mode.
You're in charge.
You guested my ass.
I'm doing good. I noticed I'm the very last person probably, and certainly the very last guest on this show to notice that the acronym for your show is WHITER.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
YITR. Yeah, that's...
Like, if I saw that on a license plate, that's what I would think.
People, there's no, like, good way to say the acronym. For some reason, I guess we just mostly say yo, because that's easy.
My book is STD.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
I asked everyone if they had a problem with that, and they were like, it's STIs now. And I was like, I don't think that really covers my concern.
I'm guessing there's a good reason that we could talk about, but I have I don't know, middle-aged person brain, and I just call it the dream. The book, I also call it the dream, because I can't, like, conceive of something having a different name than the thing it was based on.
But it's called Selling the Dream.
Yeah. You wrote a book.
AKA STD.
Yeah. What dream was it?
My dream, a fever dream, the whole thing. Yeah. Why did I write a book, Andrew? Because it was hard.
Yeah. Seriously. Okay. Jane Marie wrote a book based off her hit podcast, The Dream.
That's right.
Tell us about why. Yeah. You're asking me why you wrote it? I was going to ask you
why
you wrote it.
Well, listen, I signed the contract February of 2020.
Oh my God.
And then literally 2 weeks later, they were like, you're a homeschool teacher now. And I was like, what? Oh, no, yeah. I have to write a book and make a podcast. So then I became a homeschool teacher and tried writing a book. I had to spend a very big majority of my advance on people that could help me, because I just didn't have the bandwidth. I didn't have the time. I couldn't do all the things you need to do. And you'd think you'd have more time because I'm just stuck at home, but I'm stuck at home at that time with, like, a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
So I had great help, especially from this woman, Brooke Carey, who, like, helped me organize my thoughts, like, put things in an order. And I had a couple of research assistants, and all that was great. But it took about 3 years. And then or 2.5, 3 years to get a draft in. And then I've spoken to people since then, which I felt ashamed of for a long time. But I've spoken to people recently who are like, that's not that long. I don't know anything about the book world. But yeah, my book just came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Tell people about it.
It's kind of about pyramid schemes. It's a very heavily researched historical document. That's the other thing, is like, why did I write that kind of book? I could have written a memoir. It's about multi-level marketing and network marketing and direct sales, like Avon and Tupperware and Amway and Herbalife and all those companies. And it's kind of part, you know, history, part character study of the people that start these companies, because they're all kind of exactly the same person. And they're people that we would love to have be our president, but not our friend. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, they're highly aspirational. They totally believe, quote unquote, in pushing the American dream on people while ripping them off. So it's a nice profile of all these yahoos throughout the last 100 years who have, like, started this pyramid scheme frenzy throughout the United States.
I guess it's like the last, like, legal, like, completely, like, traded on the open, or, like, they're not really.
It's not. I wish they were on the open market, because then I could get good numbers from them, but they're I guess not like the stock market,
but like
But yeah, they're like out there.
It's an open scam, I guess.
It's an open scam. They're everywhere. And the scam is, I've had this asked so many times recently, so I'm just trying to get tighter at saying what they actually, how the scam works. Uh-huh. Also, I've spent like 7 years looking into this, so it's been a long time.
But you've also been like on your like book press tour now.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, it's just like these companies where the people say, you can run a town, or you can run, we're playing town, and you can have a store in this town, and your store sells candles or whatever. And you buy in and you spend $299 and you get a box of candles and you get some like paperwork that looks official but says nothing, and you get order sheets. That's the really fun part, is the order sheets, like carbon copy order sheets, even though everything's done online. Oh, one of them I got when in my research, one thing I got from one of the companies was like a really janky, I could go grab it and show it to you right now. But it's like a really janky cardboard iPad sort of with a video. They don't usually send over like a, you know, there's no bookkeeping or anything like that. There's no practical stuff. But then you try doing that and you walk around with this cardboard iPad at like, I don't know, Whole Foods or whatever, and no one wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then like a few months later you quit, and then someone else wants to sign up because it sounds fun or it sounds like they need money. And that's how all of the money is made in the organization, is from people trying to sign up and then failing. There's not really like a market out there for whatever
stuff
they're quote unquote selling. And that's how they get around the pyramid scheme law, because it's just simply a pyramid scheme. But I guess our country believes that it's not a pyramid scheme if there is a good or a service.
But they're not. I guess it's the same way that the airline's actual business is like, they're actually like a credit company.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what's the real business? I think for me, the thing that was like, because I was a little surprised, and I know there's like niches of this, but like specifically with my like, you know, I thought like not the type of person to fall for this, but like my, I know there's like a sort of cultural like, there's like an Asian one. And I know like Herbalife is like very like marketed towards like, Latinos or like, and yeah, that it's like so interesting. Cause I was like, for a script, and this was one thing that I kind of bounced off you and then I wound up going a different way, but I was like, oh, maybe it would be nice. I basically was like, well, so which one is like the Asian multi-level marketing one? But yeah,
I mean, it depends on if it's marketed toward men or women. Like the men ones are always some tech something, you know, like some telecom,
Bitcoin or bullshit.
Yeah, Bitcoin, telecom, credit cards, those kind of things. And then for women, it's vitamin supplements, makeup, girl stuff, clothing.
My aunt, who was like a physician, like a, you know, as far as I knew, a successful physician, would like push vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, first of all, like, what the fuck? Like, I don't think you need this money. No. And second of all, you're a goddamn doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, You should of all things know that this is actual bullshit.
Well, but don't discount how fun it can be. I mean, did you see this cardboard? Did you see this cardboard iPad?
It did. I do think for her, it did form like a social circle.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what it did for everyone in my family that does it. It's like, it was super fun reason to hang out on the weekends other than church, you know. It's like it's like church, except you can swear and have wine, more wine than just a little shot of wine. You can have a whole glass of wine and swear.
I guess that's true. It says, I mean, when you put it that way, it's not like probably, you know, you don't get like that much less than you get for whatever religion costs.
Well, also, you know, if I feel like I wouldn't have a problem with any of it if the sales pitch was closer to like you know, entering the tablescape contest at the county fair or a beauty pageant or something. If it was like, this is fun, you probably won't win, but you know, there's a fee. We're all having fun here. That would be fine, but they don't do that. They say, you know, this will, you'll be able to quit your job. Oh no, you know, one phrase is that's like, mwah. It's, you can quit your husband's job. Like, you will get so rich from the MLM that he doesn't have to work anymore.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
That's, I mean, I guess that kind of encapsulates everything about the main targets for this.
Yep.
Ugh,
well, and also,
so
like you
dark.
Said, the places like Herbalife, and it's mostly women because we're all suckers. Just kidding. I mean, we kind of are, but but it's also any population that would have, you know, any marginalized group that would have,
yeah,
you know, a need for like some supplemental income or like a side hustle or whatever. And it's by design. It's not like these things just like. Just so happens that a lot of
right.
Hispanics in Los Angeles sell Herbalife. Like, no, they're targeting
yeah.
people. That's
yeah.
everybody's targeted anymore, you know, with data being out there.
Right.
I've never
or just
been
like
approached.
The market just like takes on. Right. Cause it's
yeah.
like clear you're not a good.
I am not the target for a telecom MLM, but I definitely get hit up about makeup all the time. Because I'm
a lady
who likes makeup and a woman and all of that stuff. So, you know. But yeah, the communities of like super religious people who don't leave the house, you
mm-hmm.
know, real homeschool teachers.
Right. Like it's sort of just like, God, it's so fucking dark in that like, yeah, it relates to, I mean, all this, all like this like Republican and like right wing shit now that's like attacking the idea of like divorce or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Just like any kind of basically person who cannot be independent and potentially legally can't be independent.
Yeah.
If certain political.
Well, you don't even have
way.
To have like paperwork to be like, you can be an illegal immigrant or you can be a felon or you can be like, you don't, it doesn't. There's no
right.
there's no rules over who can participate in an MLM. But back to the book. The book is actually funny.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The book is funny and fun. So, like, this is going in a dark direction, this discussion, and the book does go there. But for the most part, it's a romp. For the most
yeah.
part, it's just, like, a really – I was inspired by – do you know who Barbara Holland is?
Nope.
Well, she's dead. But before she died, she wrote books, and she wrote one of my favorite books called Hail to the Chiefs, and it is, uh-huh. it's like a compendium of weird and salacious stories about the presidents throughout history.
Oh, sure.
And it goes president by president, and it's,
yeah.
but she's super judgmental in it. Like, she'll be like, because he was a fucking idiot, he wore wooden
right.
dentures or whatever, and
right,
she's
right.
very, and I just loved her. She's very like Elaine Stritch. She reminds me of like an Elaine Stritch, but like a history writer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about her a lot when I was writing it because I wanted to have fun. And most everyone in the book is dead. So I could have fun at their expense.
I think that's about right. I have two copies of your book and I have not gotten a chance to read it yet. So I will just say,
listen to it. Why don't you listen to it? It's like another season of my show.
You want me to get three copies of your fucking book?
I'll send you a promo code. Didn't I give you one of them, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like you bought two.
That's true. But I I'll read it. I should learn to read with my
just listen to the
eyes.
Audiobook. Again, it's like another season of the dream. It flies by.
All
it's
right.
an easy read. I will say that. That the whole book is an easy read. It's not.
Yes.
I am not fancy.
Yes.
I was a blogger and a podcaster.
Right. It's the trick with that sort of stuff. I mean, there was a time when I'd sold a Yo, Is This Racist book and then like went a different direction with stuff. But that book, I basically was like, I mean, you want to just like spell check the blog and I'll write a couple more entries and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, actually, my book agent, which not to brag, I have a book agent.
Yeah.
But the guy who wanted to make 10% off of me selling a book, who I really like, his name's Anthony Matero. He's at CIA. He took the transcripts from the first season of The Dream, every episode, and just like cut it into an outline for me.
Oh, shit.
Which was rad. It was like so helpful just for me to go, okay, what's the, give me the lay of the land here. What have I already covered? What do I need to cover? It was great.
Interesting.
Yeah. All call right. me if you want to know him. I have his cell phone number.
This is for the listeners.
Jealous much? Yeah. What?
This is for everyone. All right. Let's take a little break. And Oh, wait. Actually, before that, because the other reason why you're here, besides we went to high school together and you have a book out, is you're also very good at giving advice. You've been doing advice for a long time.
I've probably, 15 years, I think, I started giving advice on the internet. I had an advice column at The Hairpin. Mm-hmm. One, a couple different ones. One of them was like a sexy times one, and the other one was makeup and beauty stuff and fashion. And then I just kind of kept making them all over. I had one with Gabe for Medium with Gabe Delahaye.
We mostly did
relationships. It was like a he said, she said advice column, and we got to fight on the internet about things. And then I did a one called Dear Jane for Jezebel, which was just the questions were all over the place, which I really loved. It was like Dear Prudence, but then add in like some not important stuff like eyeliner or whatever.
I think that's it, because we've been realizing that like 90% of even our advice about race stuff is like boils down to like just a little more empathy, a little more like acting like a human being, please. We've been doing more normal advice. By the way, call in 323-389-7223 or text your questions. I didn't even ask Kevin offline, but we got one, a real weird one that was just three pictures, and it said, "My grandma collects these dolls, and they're all
racist." Oh, I like that. See, I was just going to say, you should do things like clothing, like, you know, like, is my clothing racist? Are these glasses racist?
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. So we'll do that. We'll get into that. But because you also have a new, we'll call it an advice product.
It's an advice product, yes. It has a number of different SKUs, advice line. My number is 323-248-1488 to ask me a question.
Call both numbers at the same time.
Except Andrew said his too fast, so you're not going to know what his was, but mine is 323-248-1488, and it's called Dear Jane Marie, and I have a guest on every week. The podcast is a condensed version of our chat, a very condensed version, like 10 minutes of our chat, and that's on Apple Podcasts. It's out there right now, Dear Jane Marie. And then for now, the whole video of us chatting, which has been hilariously edited by my friend Kevin, that is on a
Kevin,
Patreon.
Other Kevin. Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, other Kevin. Patreon.com/ Dear Jane Marie. Get over there while it's free. And then we also do like the Friday Bargain Bin, which is my shopping column I've been doing for a decade, and some other fun stuff. So, and a Discord where we can all, you know, where I created the tab I always create in Slack or any discussion board, which is Women Be Shopping. I didn't write that. I didn't make that up. But
I found it. I don't know.
Andrew was a guest.
Or yeah. I suppose if my episode will come out. But I will just say for the record, for the video, I found it. I got self-conscious about how I was supposed to be sitting. So if I seem fidgety, it's because I was like,
"You're not the star of the video. It's the couch."
There's that. But I was genuinely like, "Am I sitting okay?" And so I felt like I was like fidgeting a lot.
No one noticed. No. They're all eyes are on the couch. So
that's for the listeners. Listeners, just text in or hit me up on Twitter. Just let me know if I was too fidgety. Just hashtag too fidgety. All right, let's take a fucking break. Then we'll give some advice. Welcome back. We don't even know. The ads are, who even knows what the ad situation is? So maybe not welcome back for you, but welcome back for us. We actually took a real ass break.
We were chilling.
I found it very enjoyable.
We were around the water cooler, the virtual water cooler there. You guys don't even want to know what I learned about Andrew during the break.
I don't have a joke. It's too stressful to think about. Let's do a voicemail and then a text.
Please.
Hello, I just listened to your recent episode with Matt Apodaca, where you're talking about video games being too woke, and it made me think I am in the military, which you can feel free to judge me for. But there's lately been this dialogue that people aren't joining the military anymore because the military is too woke, which I think is insane. Please discuss.
In what way, in what universe is the military, do you have a beat on this, Andrew? Like, I don't understand.
This is crazy. Well, I mean,
this feels crazy.
It's that, like, this, like, kind of, like, right-wing, far-right kind of thing where they're just, like, everything is quote, too woke. That I think is what, you know, they're like the most like kind of misogynist, normal things, are like too woke. Like this came off and we were discussing how there's a new like assertion that video games are too diverse now. And it's like, I'm so sorry.
They're fucking made up. What are you talking about? You know, yeah. Like what? Wait, no, here's the question though.
Yeah.
Like we don't know who this lady is, but is there a real problem with people not joining the military? Is that a real thing? Do we know if that's a real thing? I think it's probably not her people joining the military is my guess, because I know who goes into the military and it might not be the people this lady knows, which are 18-year-old kids from very specific parts of the country.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it comes up. Military recruitment shortage. I think there's probably like...
We should stop going to war at places that we don't belong. I think people understand that.
Oh, well, I think it's just that like, it's like all jobs. I think the military is a job that by and large is not a like first choice for most people who are there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so if you have any other option, you do that.
You do that. And also, they're not talking to everybody.
Yeah.
I think that they have a marketing problem and they have a recruitment problem because the way they've stationed, I've done a lot of reporting around military stuff, like a lot.
Yeah.
And I've been to, you know, they put little outlets in malls, in poor communities and in, you know, southern, like it's all very planned out. And if those places are failing, maybe they need to, you know, widen their reach, but also stop. I think parents are under, it's not a wokeness thing. I think parents of who would normally push their kids into the military are being like,
Well, I mean, it
we
is
seem
like
not to be going to real wars,
like do like anything else.
Yeah. Well, we're starting I other think conflicts. Yeah.
The wokeness thing is just like, this is what, you know, racists always say about every, like there's nothing they can't say is quote too woke.
Right.
Because that's
in this,
their
in
main
this context,
acts.
They still have guns and stuff, you guys. Like it's not.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's still like the levers of fascism. Like even if they're slightly less homophobic,
or they're not like attacking quite as many women on base, you know?
Yeah.
Like
it's not, you know, it's woke for the military. It's like the Pope. I think it's just like, I mean, it's that like ongoing discussion of like this accusation of wokeness, or I guess in the intervening time, even since this voicemail was called in, it's now just the new code for the N-word is DEI, which is like a little like, ugh.
Yeah, I read an article about that a couple days ago. It is. And I feel like I would, if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, get specific. Tell me exactly what you mean. Like, what is the thing that the 18-year-old believes about the military that is going to keep them out of the military, because they don't even have frontal lobes. Like, they're children. and you know.
I think that the thing that is so bizarre, it's like, if you just like are a huge fucking bigot, racist, horrible human being, and you can't stand wokeness, it's not like there's another job that's better for you than the military, like cop, I guess.
But
like,
maybe cop, yeah. Well, definitely cop. But again, we're talking about kids. We're talking about children.
Yeah.
Are children really, and are their parents being like, nope, this isn't, now you have to, you can only work at a correction facility.
Right.
Like you could be a cop or that. Like, I just can't imagine those discussions happening.
I feel like those are what the racists would have you think are the discussions. So
you know what I bet? I bet there's an actual answer, Andrew.
Yeah, but that's not what this show's all about. It's about and the reason it's not what this show's about is because it's the like claiming that wokeness is the reason is just as disingenuous as this conversation we're having now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck those people, obviously. But yeah, just more broadly.
But also fuck the military, right, Andrew? Fuck the military. Come on.
How dare you attack my woke military, Jane? I love those horrible, horrible fascists. Whoa. Okay. Here's a text question. We're taking those. And this actually still is a racism question, but I had forgotten until I was like rummaging through this bag that you have a dentist in your family. And
my father.
That's why this was so funny. Hello, Andrew, Tani, and producer Kevin. I was getting my teeth cleaned in San Diego by a hygienist, and halfway through poking around in my mouth, she stops and asks, "Do you have any Native American blood in you?" I said, "I don't think so," and she responds, "Oh, okay," and just proceeds to continue poking around in my mouth. She didn't do any more explaining or ask any follow-up questions. It just seems like a weird time to get into my background.
Well, why didn't you ask her?
Well, let me ask.
Maybe
you
your
this.
Mouth was full of tools. Yeah. I don't know, but there are things I will say as the daughter of a dentist.
Yeah.
There are things that different groups of people have, like allergies to certain things, or you know,
a legit reason.
Yeah,
to
yeah. There's
this.
Like little differences in your anatomy. Like there are bite issues that only happen in certain populations. There are things so I don't. She should have explained more because that sounds crazy. But, and I don't know enough about what a Native American mouth looks like. But she might, so, and
like
it
conceivably,
actually is part of their,
conceivably, there's a legit reason for asking.
A medical reason,
like
I mean, part of their education is to know what the like hypodontia is more. Some teeth is like more common in Northern European populations and things like that. So
right.
I don't know, like thin enamel and things like that happen.
Yeah,
but I don't know what her intention was, but I'm. Guessing, hopefully, here, that it was just...
Here's a more broad question about this situation. Like, and I know you're not the dentist or the hygienist here, so I'm just asking. What the fuck is up with those insane questions? Like, I just got my teeth cleaned, and how much... I'm guessing it's just the silence is awkward, and they just say something to fill the air kind of situation. But... so many times they ask a question that requires a response, but their hands are in my mouth.
I know. That's why they kill themselves.
What?
That's the dental field has like the highest rates of suicide of any professional, job like that. But they just, because they're talking to like mute people all the time. They're basically talking to themselves, essentially.
Right.
I mean, if you've ever sat in my dad's chair, it's just like a Jeff G. monologue about whatever but he's occasionally pretending like he's asking you a question, but you can't. You're going, and then he puts on whatever music he wants because you can't fight that.
I guess I would have thought you're part of like, I guess, more hygienist training would be just ask yes or no questions.
I think they're also, I'm giving them so much of the benefit of the doubt in this conversation, but that's because I know them and I've grown up around these people. Like, I think they're also trying to pass the time a little bit because they know you're terrified to be there for the most part. So they're just filling the air. Like, if they were just quiet, you would be like, what is happening? So they're taught to fill the air. They know you can't answer. Sometimes you get a peek into their inner psyche because of that. But also going back to the, like, why would she ask that question? There's been like a ton of research a lot of scholarship lately about the connection between teeth health and heart health. So things are getting, you know, complicated around the connections between all of your systems and stuff. So I think they're asking more questions because of that. But they do come out with some real weird shit to pass the time. And you should go to one of those dentists. That person should go to one of those dentists that where they let you wear the virtual reality goggles.
I guess that is a thing now. No
one talks to you except the monster in your video game or whatever.
My best dentist experience was just this was even like early enough that the like flat screen wasn't that flat, but it was just like a flat screen like above your head and it would play whatever.
My dad's office had the ones where there was like glasses that he only had. Hang on. He only had Ren and Stimpy. Because I had a VHS of Ren and Stimpy. He got other stuff later, but your
choice
was. This
is what the kids want.
Do you want to watch Ren and Stimpy or not?
That's a fine enough choice, I think.
Very distracting. Very distracting.
I guess.
Yeah. But people hate going there.
Yeah. I don't mind going to the dentist. So I'm just like, it's fine for me. But yeah, I guess it's.
I do. My dad will just like tear the shit out of my mouth and just be like, man up. Come on.
I will say the other side of this, this is partially because I have so many medical professionals in my family, which is like, but also I've had such weird experiences. I just think I mentioned this on this or a different pod about the time I was getting like a like hardcore asthma test. And the nurse was like, this is probably from chemtrails. And I was like,
she's too woke.
So just because people should be scientific and are in the medical profession does not mean that they are.
No.
Which is why this whole do you have any Native American blood in you plus silence is more sinister sounding to me, because I'm like, that's
maybe it was their hair. I don't know what they were thinking, but I'm also obnoxious, and I would have like saved that question for the very end of the appointment, and, like sat up and been like, "So what the fuck was the
That's for the texter. It's that you like, it is fine to just be like, "So what is happening?" Like, why
they didn't
would
have
you
a
ask
problem.
Me that?
This is what I have to say to people about MLMs and pyramid schemes all the time when they're like, what should I say to my friend who wants me to join their pyramid scheme? I'm like, they were fine asking you to join a pyramid scheme.
Right.
Like, why do you feel weird about saying something?
Like, right.
They were fine like proposing that you lose your life savings on their, you know, scam. Just ask them what's up or tell them no.
I mean, that I think is some small version of a broader conversation that we have all the time about, like, what do you say? What do I say to my racist parents? And it's like, they were fine being racist.
Yeah.
Fucking tell them that they're racist. Yeah.
Just say whatever you want.
You really should. Everyone should be less scared
matching each other's energy.
Yeah. Or less scared of losing the friendship of people who are doing bad stuff.
Because they're not scared about losing you at all.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Like, they're not thinking that way. So you can just let it fly.
Yeah, you really should. Everyone will be better off. Shit. Well, that's a podcast.
Jane, oh, was it?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I know it was.
Jane, don't fool me on my own show.
I miss you. When are we hanging out?
Mm.
I moved. You didn't even go to my new house yet. Maybe I should have a party.
I haven't been invited, just for the record, listeners. I haven't been invited.
No, I said maybe we should have a party.
Oh, yeah.
I saw you a couple weeks ago at my last party. I invite you to every party.
Yeah. And get Jane's book, the Selling the Dream, not the STD. Mm-hmm. Listen to, be ready for, go back and listen to the Dream podcast. And
Dear Jane Marie, my advice show, where Andrew comes on and we give some really fun advice, actually. I think it's a great episode.
Hashtag too fidgety.
patreon.com/DearJaneMarie or on Apple Podcasts. Andrew was not too fidgety. I mean, you're fidgeting now. You just fidget. You're a fidgeter, but that's fine.
I know that's what I'm saying though. I felt like I was even more than that. But I'm happy for people to weigh in. Just go to patreon.com and weigh in.
Dear Jane Marie, come to Twitter and tell me and Andrew. Oh, internet web handles, social handles for me are C Jane Marie. They're all SEE Jane Marie, which is a reference to See Jane Run, but the children don't know what that is anymore.
No.
So when I say that, they're like, huh? And then I have to go, S as in Sam, E-E-J-A-N-E-M-A-R-I-E, ugh. And then I walk away with an attitude.
All right. Well, everyone, yes, look at all this stuff. But I don't know. Fucking find Jane. She's delightful. Buy the book. You get it. Everyone gets it. Everyone understands what's happening here.
Love you guys, the listeners. I love you, listeners. Andrew, I just like you. I just like you.
323-389-7223. I did it slower this time off of Jane's advice. Suboptimalpods.com. Thanks for calling. Thanks for texting. Jane, thanks for being here. Kevin, thanks for this harrowing recording session. Peace. This is Suboptimal.